We've been thinking about the ways of Jesus. I have to say, Beth, what you said earlier, that was just great. Splendid. Can anyone remember? Well, first off, was anyone here last week? Yeah, quite a few of you. Can anyone remember the verse that they spoke about at Messy Church? 1 Corinthians 5:17. He's got where it is. That's it. Excellent. Here it is. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. It's interesting because if you have a look at what actual words are in the Hebrew, it doesn't say they are a new creation. It just says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation. There's some sort of glorious liberty about it. And when we start to think about the ways of Jesus, one of the things is that we are in Christ. If you have a look through the New Testament, the number of times it speaks about being in Christ is really quite a large number. Jesus said in John 14, verse 20, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. Now, when I was quite a lot younger, in the 70s, I suppose it probably was, we thought somehow that what we had to do was invite Jesus into our hearts. And many of us have prayed that sort of prayer. And I think we had a real experience of God doing something. But I think as time has gone by, our understanding of what he actually did has become very much greater than a little bit of him coming into a little bit of us. That somehow we're included in him. In him, we enter into his relationship with the Father. In him, we enter into his anointing in the Holy Spirit. And that's not some sort of sanitized me or sanitized you that enters into that. He takes us as we are. When we're feeling absolutely great, then he takes us into the presence of the Holy Spirit. He takes us into the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He takes us into his relationship with his Father. And when we're feeling at our very worst, then still he takes us into the presence of the Father. He takes us into the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because we are in him and we're part of his relationship with his Dad and with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want this morning to try and have a look at what that looks like. How does it actually work that he takes us into his relationship with the Father? Some of you are on Facebook and... Sorry?
Right now.
No, probably not right now. I hope not right now, but you might be, who knows. Steve is. So here's a little video that he posted the other day.
So I've been working on this sideboard for a client, which I'm really pleased with. And there's just certain jobs, aren't there, that are just so satisfying. This is one of them. Once you've got it masked up. Seeing those crisp lines. Yeah. Look forward to revealing this soon when it's completed.
Great. Now, where did Steve's passion for furniture come from? It could have been that he went to the Farnborough Furniture Festival and there was a guy there who said, right, anyone who'd like to be a furniture maker, please put up your hand. And then all those who've put up your hand, come down to the front And we will pray for you, and we will ask the spirit of furniture to come upon you, and you will become a person who loves to make furniture. I haven't actually asked Steve, but I suspect it probably wasn't quite like that. But the way in which it works is that in Christ, we come to the Father. We enter into the creativity that he has. We feel his passion. Jesus was a carpenter when he came to the earth for 18 years or somewhere around that time. And we heard something the other day that said, whenever Jesus comes into a room, he just loves to make furniture. And I think it's that sort of way in which we pick up our passions for things. We're in Christ. We access in Christ the creativity of the Father. And that fills us with passion. We know that that's how God works, because here's a verse from Exodus. I have filled Bezalel, he was a guy who was a tradesperson, with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all workmanship. That is the Father's heart, and that is what we enter into when we're in Christ. That's one example. Now here's another. Rosie, a while back, turned 70. And she thought, what would I like to do when I get to 70? And she thought, I know what I'd like to do. I'd like to have a tattoo. And at the time, she'd recently had her knee replaced. So she had a bionic knee and thought she'd like to have a tattoo to go with that as well. And here it is. Now, when she went there, she went to see a guy called Mark Hardy. Some of you know him. He's a tattooist, and he has an upstairs studio. And therefore, Rosie, on her crutches, because she'd only just had her knee replaced, sort of hobbled up the stairs and had the tattoo put on. And then she hobbled down the stairs again, and two ladies came out of the shop that was downstairs and said, oh, have you just been upstairs? And Rose said, yes, look, here it is. And they said, oh, we thought it was only pirates who have tattoos. Well, I always thought Rosie might have been a pirate, and here was the proof of it. But where did Mark get his passion for tattooing from? It could have been the Toronto tattoo show or whatever, and someone said, right, all of those who'd like to be tattooists, put up your hands, come down to the front, and I'll pray for you that the spirit of tattoo will come upon you. And in due course, you'll be able to go out there and do tattooing, and this thing will fill your life, and you'll be able to tell people about tattoos and all this sort of stuff. Well, I don't know if there is a Toronto tattoo talent shop or show or whatever it was, but probably not, I guess. But nevertheless, it's one of the advantages of being in Christ, because we come to someone who is creative, and tattooing, I think, is creative. It's a creative art. And we worship a God who understands tattoos. And therefore, Mark has his passion, not because someone said, come out and be a tattoo artist, but because he's in Christ. And God's heart is to do stuff, which seems to be, to me, in some cases, to do with tattoos. And if you're not sure about that, here's a verse. I have engraved you on the palms. Your walls are ever before me. Now, if you read many versions of the scriptures, it will say, I have engraved your name on my palms. But if you have a look at what's in the original, There's nothing about the name. It's not talking about writing on his hands. The second bit, your balls are ever before me, makes no sense at all, as far as I can see, if you're just writing the name of Jerusalem, which is what it's talking about, on his palms. The illustration is, he's drawn a picture, he's engraved a picture of Jerusalem on his palms, so that Jerusalem's walls are ever before him. That's the picture. And I believe that's the reason why Mark has a passion for tattooing. Because he's in Christ and he comes into that relationship that Jesus has with his Father, into the one who engraves Jerusalem on his palm so it can remember its walls. Now, Sarah isn't here. She's gone upstairs with the kids. But some of you know that sometimes she's not here at all. And often that's because she's doing a show. Here she is, as part of preparation for a show, I believe. I'd be very interesting to know whether she ever went to the Southwark singing soiree and someone said, "Who would like to be a singer? If you all come down to the front, I'll pray for you, and we'll pray for the spirit of singing to come upon you, and you'll go away and you'll be singing forevermore." I suspect it wasn't like that. I think actually she's had a passion for acting and for singing from quite an early age, if I remember rightly. And dancing, yes, that's true. Yep. And puppetry and all sorts of creative things. Because, again, in Christ, she has access to the creativity of our Father, to the creativity of God, to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to do all of these things. And so if you've ever been to see her in a show, it's usually delightful and well worth going to do. If you see her advertised again, or talk to her, you know, just go along and you'll see that somehow, out of the passion that God has, then she has a passion for doing singing and dancing and choreography. She did a show the other day, I think. They said, "Could you take over the part at no notice because the other girl doesn't know the song and we think you can learn it on the fly," whereas the other girl couldn't. So, I mean, it's just extraordinary, isn't it? That somehow you tap into the creativity of God because we are in Christ. And here's a verse. The Lord your God is in the midst. The Lord your God in your midst will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. We have a God who sings over people. And therefore, when Jesus takes us into his presence, then that singing becomes part of what we do. We have access to that. Now, it is Mothering Sunday today. Have any of you ever been parents? Some of you have. We have a picture, I think. Yes. Now, how come that we end up loving a small bundle that's never done anything? In fact, generally, I think you'll find we end up loving them before they ever actually became a small bundle. While they were still in the womb, we think, wow, this is going to be amazing, isn't it? Did any of you go to the Mansfield Motherhood Expo? And someone prayed for you that you might be a mother? No, I suspect not. We probably didn't go to the Furbeck Fatherhood Expo either, those of us who are dads, did we? No. In Jesus, we're taken into the presence of the Father, who is love. And the love that we feel for our kids, even before they've done anything, even before they're born, is the love that the Father has. And we're in his presence, in Christ. We heard a video the other day. Baxter Kruger was speaking about a mother who arrived in his office and said, "I just feel like crap at the moment." And she had a big bundle of prayer letters that had arrived through the post, and she threw them down on the table and she said, "I hate these things because everyone just seems to be so good and even their kids are perfect. And all I do is I go out, I have to buy the food for the kids, and then I have to prepare the food for the kids, and then I have to cook the food for the kids, and then I have to feed the kids, and then I have to wash up after I've fed the kids. And that's all I seem to be doing." And Baxter was just able to say, "Look, the other day you told me about the fact that you needed a coat for your daughter and you managed to find the perfect coat. Somehow, your heart for your kids, your heart to look after them, your heart to do the things that need to be done are much more important than all these other things. Because that heart comes from the Father. That heart comes from being in Christ. He has a heart for your children. You are expressing the heart of the Father to your children, and that is really important." We've got a verse for this, just to show. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you." Interesting word that, isn't it? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. It's talking about intimate, face-to-face contact. It's the same sort of know where Adam knew Eve and she conceived and bore a son. It's an intimate knowledge that God says he has of us. In this case, it was of Jeremiah, but he has of us even before we were born. And then we've got love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, I know some of you struggle with the generosity of God that this sort of verse portrays, but I think it's unlikely that we're ever going to get into the presence of Jesus and say, "I overestimated your generosity." I have a feeling that if anything, we'll have underestimated his generosity rather than overestimated it. Now, some years ago, we had a call from someone who said, "We're looking for people who would like to go to Romania. They need teaching." It was just after the fall of communism in Romania. Some of you don't know anything about this because many of you have arrived since Romania ceased, or in terms of our involvement in it. Romania's still going, they're still out there, they're still doing great things. But Norman and I said, "Yeah, we'll go." So we booked ourselves onto a skiing trip because it was the easiest way to get out there. Actually, when we arrived, there was no snow. The snow had melted, so we couldn't have gone skiing even if we wanted to. But we turned up at the airport, and the guy who'd phoned us up in the first place got off the plane. We were expecting to meet him in Romania, but he got off the incoming plane, handed us a bunch of barely legible bits of paper, which was actually Romanian money at the time, and said, "You're on your own. Here's a telephone number for someone you might be able to speak to when you get there. Good luck." And off we went. And for those of you who don't know anything about it, we ended up being, from that small and humble beginning, the largest sender of aid to Romania in the world. Poplar's Church, Romania. For many years, we sent thousands of people out there. Some of them were people of faith. Some of them were just people of ability. So we sent a lot of people from, it was the Belfast, University of Belfast Nursing School, wasn't it? Whole crews of doctors and nurses who went out under the auspices of Poplar's Church, Romania. I think Norman arrived there once, and there was a lady from the United Nations Children's Fund or something, wasn't it? They said, "Who are you?" And they didn't know who she was. And Norman said, "Oh, she's with me." And they said, "Oh, that's all right. We know you." And the other thing you may not notice is that we got a mention in the Financial Times. That's quite an achievement for a little charity in the middle of Worksop to get a mention in the Financial Times. But the reason we got it is because they looked at sales of holiday insurance, travel insurance, in the UK. And there was one branch of the NatWest Bank which far exceeded every other branch in the entire UK by a huge margin. And that was because all of the people who went to Romania through Poplar's Church Romania bought their travel insurance at the Worksop branch of the NatWest Bank. And so the Financial Times thought, what on earth is going on here? And found out about us. Now, none of us had a heart before that, I think, specifically for Romania. But the nature of being in Christ is that somehow we tapped into the heart of the Father for that place. And we went out there. I mean, it was a bit scary in one sense to begin with. We couldn't speak the language. It was difficult to order food at the hotel that we were staying, because we could do was point at things, because they couldn't find anyone who could speak English and we couldn't find anyone who could speak both. Although we did meet up with a guy called Stelian, and he was our liaison person. But all of that comes out of not our great ability, but the fact that we are in Christ. And Christ takes us into the presence of the Father and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And out of that came great things. Now, I think we've still got time, but I'd like to just mention... No, sorry, I've skipped a bit. I want to watch a video now. I'm aware that this is recorded and you may be watching it online or listening to it online. If you are, you'll need to stop the recording and just look on YouTube and search for Thailand Unsung Hero. And that should find you a video of 3 minutes and 6 seconds, which you can then watch and see what it's we've been watching. The reason you need to watch it is because there's not a lot of dialogue, and most of the dialogue that there is in Thai. And most of us don't speak Thai, but there are some English subtitles. But it's a delight, this one, and I think it illustrates something of tapping into the heart of God.
จะไม่ได้อะไรเลยไม่ได้รวยขึ้น ไม่ได้ออกทีวีไม่มีใครรู้จักไม่ได้มีชื่อเสียงที่มากขึ้นสิ่งที่เขาได้คือได้แค่ความรู้สึกได้เห็นความสุขได้เข้าใจได้ความรักในสิ่งที่เงินซื้อไม่ได้ได้โลกที่สวยงามกว่าเดิมในชีวิตคุณอะไรคือสิ่งที่คุณต้องการมากที่สุด
ไทยประกันชีวิตเชื่อในความดี
Well, you don't need to buy the Thai life insurance. But it just seems to me that that's a perfect example of the nature of the love of God working out in life. I watch it from time to time because I love it. And it does me good. Yesterday, Rosie and I watched a film.Called Cold Comfort Farm. I don't know if any of you have ever seen it. It's delightful. It's based on a book by Stella Gibbons. Actually, I think we've got a slide for this one. Yep, we have. Based on a book by Stella Gibbons, who wrote it in 1932. And then the BBC did a film adaptation in 1995. Kate Beckinsale plays the part...of a young woman who loses both her parents and decides to say she needs to stay with some relatives and goes to a place called Cold Comfort Farm where they're all a bit wacky. But if you look at it, I think she plays the part of Jesus in that story because everything she touches...Everyone is changed. Everyone's life is enriched. Everyone has their perspective changed and are transformed as a result. It's even got an ascension scene at the end because she flies away in an aeroplane. But I hope you know how to look at films and see that sort ofmessage coming through. It doesn't try to say that she is Jesus, but nevertheless, if you have a heart to understand what it is to be in Christ and to know the Father and to know the Holy Spirit, then you can look at that film and think, yep, that's what she's doing. She's playing the part of Jesus in terms of transforming the lives of this community. It was on the telly this week, on BBC4, so if you want to... It's on iPlayer, that's right. And I think also on iPlayer, there's a 15-minute short by Miriam Margolyes, who played one of the minor parts in it. And she's just speaking about the fact that being on set to make that film was absolutely incredible because of the sense of love that was engendered...particularly by the ranting preacher who rants on a bit. It's really very funny. But it's a great thing to watch. But something that illustrates again, I think, the way in which Jesus works. I'm just going to mention in closing this book here, Eden by Tim Schmidt. It's a book about the Eden Project written by the guy who created it down in Cornwall. Some years ago, when we were in congregations, I preached from this for 6 months. Because anything that's creative, you can find the Father heart of God in it. Because that's who God is. He is creative. I'm not going to read any today, but there are some great stories in it. On that happy note, I think I'm going to draw to a close. Let's just pray, shall we? God our Father, we want to thank you that in Christ we come right into your presence. We come in whether we're feeling great, whether we're feeling trash, whether we're feeling rough, however we're feeling, we come into your presence because we are in Christ. We come into his relationship with you. We come into his anointing by you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Bless you all.